Zaytuna Knowledge Resource presents an exclusive khutbah, Patience Takes Courage, by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, nahmadullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyati a'malina, man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu, wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu, wa salatuhu wa salamuhu ala man bu'itha rahmatan lil alamin. على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد ابن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين الحمد لله نحمد الله سبحانه وتعالى ونشكره على نعمه التي من علينا ظاهرة وباطنة ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا وإياكم لما يحب ويرضاه أما بعد فيا عباد الله ويا معشر المسلمين يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, speaking about Bani Israel, that among the things that he told them to do was he told the Jews that they should seek help in prayer and patience. استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة. And then he informed us that this is a very difficult thing. إِنَّهَا كَبِيرَةٌ لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. It is a grievous thing or a difficult thing. شَاقَّةٌ, like the Mufassirun or the people that make commentary on the Qur'an said, it's a difficult thing on the self to have patience. It's also a difficult thing because some of them say that the pronoun there, إِنَّهَا وَإِنَّهَا, goes back to al-isti'ana, and some say it goes back to the prayer itself. That the prayer itself is difficult. And some say that the isti'ana, or the seeking help in prayer and in patience, is difficult. And there are other verses in the Qur'an that would confirm that the meaning is related to isti'ana, that it's difficult for somebody to take help in patience. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about those in the Qur'an that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلُ مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He says, who is better in speech than the one who calls to Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and anyone who follows him. And then he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or rather those who call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then say that we are among the Muslims. وَلَا تَسْتَوِيَ الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا سَيَّةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And good deeds are not like bad deeds. They're not equal. You can't equate a good deed with a bad deed. A good deed is much greater than a bad deed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to repel evil with good. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. And you will find that the one who between you and that person is animosity, it's as if he was a good friend. Suddenly, by repelling his wrong with a right, you will find that he becomes like your friend. Now, this is one of the things that the Prophet ﷺ, who is the exemplar, and really is the first and foremost in this verse itself, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Because the Prophet ﷺ is the best of us. The Prophet ﷺ was somebody who was constantly patient with his enemies. People that gave him the worst of times. Once when he gave out some wealth, one of the hypocrites said, this is هَذِهِ قِسْمَةٌ لَا يُرَادُ بِهَا وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. This is a distribution that Allah was not intended by it. Saying it about the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ was informed of what this man said. In one riwayah, one of the Ansar went to the Prophet and he told him, he actually whispered in his ear. He didn't say it in public. He said the Prophet became distressed to the point where he wished he had not informed him. And he said, قَدْ آذَى مُوسَى أَخِي مُوسَى أَكْثَرَ مِنْ هَذَا فَصَبَرْ. They did those type of things of harm to my brother Moses. And yet he was patient. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't do anything about it. So he himself was the most patient and he would repel evil with good. This is something that he did, which is why one of his miracles is that he transformed his enemies into his allies. He actually took people that wanted to destroy him, that wanted to eliminate him, that wanted to kill him. There were over 13 assassination attempts on his life. 13. Between poison and other conspiracies to eliminate the Prophet ﷺ. Despite that, even the woman at Khaybar who gave the sheep to poison him, the Prophet ﷺ forgave her. Even though she attempted to kill him. He actually asked her why she did it. Just to find out why she did that. So the Prophet ﷺ was the most patient of those who show patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him in several verses to be patient. وَاصْبِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Be patient, and your patience is only through God. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Don't grieve about all of these things that are happening to you. وَلَا تَكُوا فِي ضَيْقٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ. And don't be constricted about their plots. And that's advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be constricted about their plots. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in taqwa, piety, dutiful awareness of your Lord and fulfilling His obligations and avoiding His prohibitions, that you will not be harmed by their plots. This is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a jumla shartiya, conditional sentence. That if you do this, God promises you this. If you show patience, and even in the command to show patience, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُقِبْتُمْ بِهِ وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. If you should repel justly some harm that has come to you, then do it only to the degree that that harm was done to you, with the condition of justice. In other words, if they mutilated your people, you can't mutilate theirs. So that's with the condition of justice. In other words, don't do what the Jahili Arabs, the zealot Arabs of the pre-Islamic period did, which is when somebody harmed them, they would actually increase the harm. One of the wise men was once cursed by a man, Shatamahu. And he said to him, لَا أَدْخُلُ فِي حَرْبٍ غَالِبُهَا شَرٌ مِّن مَغْلُوبِهَا. I'm not going to enter into a war. The victor is worse than the vanquished. In other words, if I curse you, I have to do a better job than what you did to me. So if I win the cursing match, the war of curses, the victor in this war is worse than the vanquished. So I'm not even going to answer or reply, which is called hilm, forbearance, which is a type of patience. In fact, the commentators of the divine names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say the difference between as-sabur wal-halim is that Allah is patient, as-sabur, because He does not punish people immediately when they do their wrongs. But His hilm, or when He's al-halim, is when He actually doesn't punish them because He's forgiven them. But they're related. Patience and forbearance are similar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about those who call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you call to Allah, you should know that harm is going to come to you. If harm comes to you, you should know that a good deed is better than an evil deed. In other words, repel evil with good. And you will find that the whole point of your call, which is to find principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, will be effective. And when you don't use those principles, you will not get the results that you desire. You can get vengeance, but vengeance isn't something where you win people over. You just make more enemies. That's why war is so wretched. Because war, people might go into war, good people. But suddenly the person next to them, who's their friend, gets his head blown off. And all that person wants to do is blow somebody's head off on the other side. It doesn't matter who it is. That's human nature. That's human nature. And that's as old as human beings. You can read the Iliad written by Homer about the Trojan War, and that's all it's about, is people getting furious because their best friend just got killed and they just want to go out and find anybody to kill on the other side. That's the essence of Jahiliyyah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. The only people that are capable of doing this are people that have patience. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And no one can achieve this unless they have a vast portion, because patience is a vast portion. There's a hadith, الصبر نصف الإيمان. Patience is half of faith itself. If you have patience, you've got half of faith. What's the other half? وَالْيَقِينَ faith itself. And yaqeen or certainty results in patience. You can't have one without the other. Which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. We made them imams, we made them leaders in the earth, the Bani Israel. From among them we made leaders. Why? Because they were patient. Because they had certainty about our signs. So patience is a virtue that is almost absent from the modern world. And the modern world is in some ways designed to drive you mad or to teach you patience. I mean, that's the way it's set up, because you get on the phone and they say, if you want this, wait for this. If you want that, wait for that. If you want this, wait for this. And 15 minutes later, you've forgotten what you were calling for in the first place. That's what happens. It's designed to either drive you insane or to teach you patience. There was a picture in the newspaper the other day of somebody trying to get their passport, and the person was actually, he had dived over all of the other people. It was just a crowd around this little window, and this man had jumped over the people, and he was trying to get his passport in over everybody else. So the concept of waiting in line, just getting in line, creating a line. I was at the Kaaba, and somebody, there was this person, South Asian with an American accent, trying to convince people if they could just line up, they could all kiss the black stone and they wouldn't have to harm anybody else. He was saying, please, brothers, just line up. And people weren't doing it because it's nafsi nafsi. It's me, me. You see, patience and me, me don't go together, because patience, in essence, is actually, it's a type of ithar. And the Arabs, in the beauty of their language, because their language is filled with opposites contained in the same roots, very common in the Arabic language, like qasdu wal iqsat, justice and injustice being in the root qasata. Al qasitun wal muqsitun. Qasitun are unjust, muqsitun are just. The same root. If you look at the root for deference to others, it's ithar, where you actually prefer other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Ansar, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. These are people that prefer other people to themselves even when they're in need, which is why they have such a high station. And Allah says in the Quran, كُنُوا أَنصَارَ اللَّهِ. Be the helpers of God. One of the ways you help God is by helping others. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the best of you are the best of you to God's dependents. خَيْرُكُمْ أَنْفَعُكُمْ لِعِيَالِ اللَّهِ. But if you're in the me, me, me mode, the nafsi, nafsi mode, and if you don't think that mode's increasing, I'll give you one example. In a recent book, which you can't buy in a store because they don't like you to see these books, but I happen to know somebody that worked in the corporation that published the internal document. So I got a copy of it, but I wasn't supposed to get that copy. I don't know if it was something I did wrong. If it was, astaghfirullah. But it was interesting information. It was called The Emerging Consumer. And there were four new types of consumer being identified. The hedonists, which is translated into Arabic as shahwaniyun, right? People that all they care about is appetite, shahwa. The get-rich-quick males. And then the liberated females. And the last one were called aimless teenagers. Al-ghawun and murahiqun. Now what was interesting is this was done on a large study. They'd actually interviewed thousands of people to do this statistical analysis.
And what they said was the me group was becoming increasingly larger. So that's the type of world. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever lives amongst you will see athara. That's the other word from ithar. Athara is selfishness. That's what it is. It's selfishness. When you think only about yourself, you don't think about other people. It's just about me. Me, myself, and I. Some people's favorite words. Once a man knocked on the Prophet's door, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, who's there? And he said, Anna. And the Prophet said, Anna, ka'annuhu kariha. He just repeated, Anna, as if he disliked it. Don't assume I'm going to recognize your voice or I know who you are. Tell me who you are. It's me. That's a disease in Islam. That's a disease. And the cure for it is, one, patience. Because patience involves actually thinking about other people. For instance, if you're driving in the road and you have to learn either patience or you end up probably endangering other people's lives, which some people don't really care about either. But on the road, patience. You have to learn patience. I was in Medina, and one man cut off another man. He started honking over and over again. And I told him, you know, we're in Medina. It's probably better not to honk. Because it's, you know, people that harm believers and they didn't do anything. So the person next, he didn't cut you off, but he has to hear the honking. So you're harming people that didn't do anything to you. I said, it's better not to honk unless it's an emergency. But just to let them know you're angry, make a dua for them. Allah yahdik. I was in Jordan and a taxi driver got cut off and the man said, Allah yakhrib baytak. And I told him, you know, you should change that dua because Allah is answering that prayer. Arab houses are being destroyed all over the place. Maybe it's because they keep saying, Allah yakhrib baytak. And they're getting answered. Why don't you say, Allah yahdik, Allah yuslah halak, ghafar Allahu lak, rahimakallah ya akhi, attaqillah fil muslimin. You know, there's other things you can say. The Prophet said, قَتَلَ الْمُسْلِمُ كُفْرٌ وَسِبَابُهُ فُسُوقٌ. That to kill a believer is disbelief. To kill a believer is disbelief. But to curse him is profligacy. It's degradation. It's something low. It's a low thing. So patience is a virtue that is almost absent in the modern world. Everybody, people get on the fax machine. What's wrong with this thing? You know, they should upgrade this system. It used to be it took months to get a letter. It took months. You just waited. People just waited. It's called stoicism. The riwaqiyun, the Arabs called them. Stoics. People that just are patient because they realize it's just more intelligent to be patient. You're just expending all that negative energy, creating all these free radicals, increasing your age, you know, aging process. Doing all these things that are harmful for you. The Quran says it. You just have to read the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet many times, وَاسْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ. Be patient about what they say to you. وَاسْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولِي الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسَلِ. Be patient like the Ulil Azmi from the prophets before you were patient. And the Prophet himself, he was the most patient of people. But he's being commanded to patience. Just to be patient. To be patient about other people. To give people the time of day, to actually just do some ithar, to prefer other people when they're in line or trying to find a parking place. Really, this is something that the Muslims have to inculcate in themselves. And according to the Quran, Allah will not elevate a people unless they show these qualities. It's one of the conditions for tamkeen, for establishment. One of the Salaf asked Hasan al-Basri, what is better, tamkeen or sabr al-bala? What is better, to be a... In other words, you won't get the first one if you don't have the second one. And that's why if you look at the first 13 years of the Prophet's life, it's all just being patient, not doing anything. Dealing with the situation by showing kindness. Being patient with these people. Sabrun jameel. Wallah, are still patient, it doesn't negate your patience. So patience is one of the great virtues. Some of them place it under the category of courage in the moral virtues, what the Arabs call ummahat al-fada'il, the matrixes of the virtues, where all the virtues emanate from, the moral virtues. The patience is a type of courage because it's courageous to show patience. It's an act of will. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-sabru 'inda sadmat al-ula." Patience is when the calamity first happens. It's not later when you have time to think about it. It's when it first happens, and the opposite of it is faza', is where you lose control. You completely lose it, like they say in this culture. You lose it. And one of the gifts of those who show patience in this world is that they are freed from al-faza' al-akbar in the next world. When everybody else is in a total state of anxiety and dread before the ominous reality of Judgment Day, these people are in a state of sakina. They're not troubled by it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them that. So this is one of the gifts. There are many other gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises. Allah says, "Isbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu wa taqullah la'alakum tuflihun." Have patience and have musabara. The ulama differ about what that means. Some of them say that musabara is where it's patience towards an enemy outside of yourself. For instance, shaitan or a martial enemy, somebody trying to conquer your lands, that you have to show patience because victory doesn't come immediately. It takes time. The Prophet said, "Al-harbu baynana wa baynahum sijal." War between me and my opponents is one of attrition. One day for them, another day for me. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ This is what this promise. Even if there's no victory for the people of righteousness in this world, they're promised victory in the next world. Somebody might live their life and never see that. But in the Akhirah, they're promised that. So anybody that attempts to go out into the world to make the world a better place, not for themselves, because you can just go into uzla, you can go into retreat, but actually for other people, for your children, for your society, you're going to come up against people that don't want that, because there's people that benefit from those things that are harmful out there. There's people that benefit from selling arms. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ba'i'u silahin 'inda al-fitnati mal'un." The one who sells armaments during conflict, periods of conflict, is damned to hell. It's a cursed person. Because it's an evil and odious thing to do that, to sell arms when people are suffering. Armaments is the largest industry on the planet. So if you start opposing armaments, you want to see that change because, I mean, this country has a $7.7 trillion deficit. People don't think about what that means. A lot of it is because over half of the budget is going to armaments, what's called the Ministry of Defense. It used to be called, before World War II, they called it the Ministry of War. But when they started trying to collect money, "We need more money for war," it didn't sound good. So they changed it to defense. $7.7 trillion deficit. The children are going to inherit that. Every American is $35,000 in debt. And it's rising every day. So if you go out and say, you know what, we should be spending this money on education, on elevating people. We can win lots of friends if we actually help people, not drop bombs on their heads. I mean, you want to get enemies, that's the quickest way you can do it. Just harm people. That's the quickest way you'll gain enemies. Just go out and harm people. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, with his enemies, he actually was constantly doing good to them. Rabi'ah, one of his worst enemies, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, when he came to him, he said, "Ya Abu Walid." He called him by the name that he loved. It's a term of endearment. He's one of his worst enemies. But he didn't say, "Ya Utbah." He said, "Ya Abu Walid." It's a term of respect. He was commanding in the Quran to say to those people that he was debating, وَإِنَّ أَوْإِيَّاكُمْ لَعَلَى هُدًى أَوْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. One of us is guided and one of us is astray. Let's talk about it. Let's see who's guided, who's astray. He used "aw" in that. As a way, that's called adab al-khilaf. When you differ with somebody, you're trying to get to the truth of things. So you're willing to listen to the other person, even if you think they're wrong. You might learn something. That's from patience. You can't do that without patience. You can't do that. The Prophet ﷺ was the most patient of people, and he taught us patience. And he had a long-term vision. He wasn't short-term. He wasn't short-term. He was thinking about the end of time. He was thinking about the last people. He was trying to protect his people from the latter days. He gave us counsel that was not for his companions. It was actually for us. It's not for his companions. There are hadith that have nothing to do with the companions. They're clearly for people that would come later. Because he was thinking about other people. That was all he did. He thought about other people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that takes great patience. Being patient with people. It's one of the great gifts of Islam. And that's why we just finished Ramadan. It's called Shahr al-Sabr, the month of patience. It's supposed to teach people patience. When you stop eating, when somebody gets you angry, you're supposed to say, Allahumma inni sa'im. That's to teach you how to deal with people who make you angry, instead of being somebody who's a victim of button pushing. Like one of my boys, I heard this crying and I went in. I said, what happened? He said, I pushed his buttons. And I was glad to, at least he knew exactly what he was doing. There's a lot of people don't know that. I mean, that's a type of self-knowledge. So even though I didn't like the fact he was pushing his little brother's buttons, I was pleased that he realized that's exactly what he was doing. Because there's people that go out there and they're just pushing people's buttons. And they do it all day long. You'll meet people, all they want to do is get in an argument with you. It has nothing to do with you, because it's Zayd or Amr or Abdullah, it doesn't matter. It's just social pathology. So he's using the world as an arena to express his social pathology. And the world's filled with people like that. People without any self-knowledge, any critical introspection where they have to look at themselves, think about their behavior, think about how they're responding. And the Quran is a mirror. It holds itself right up to humanity. And it says, find yourself in there, because I guarantee you, you're in there. You might be Pharaoh. You might be Haman. You might be Qarun. You might be Asya. You might be the abused wife in a bad relationship. You're going to find yourself in the Quran. You'll find yourself, I guarantee you. You might find an amalgam. I've got a little bit of that. I've got a little bit of that. Because the archetypes are there. But you will find yourself. And that's what the Quran is there, to show us ourselves. That we might change ourselves in order to accord with divine revelation. To be a Muslim. To be one in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the path is arduous and it takes time and patience. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ
For more information on Zaytuna Institute, please visit us on the web at www.zaytuna.org. That's www.zaytuna.org. To purchase lectures by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, that's www.alhambraproductions.com.